We want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to be looking there this morning. And we want to think about a man who took a trip that he regretted for the rest of his life. I wonder if you've ever taken a trip like that. Listening this morning, they were talking about the Soccer World Cup that was in South Africa, and I guess the final is today. So they were talking to some people who had gone down there to see some of those games, and some who had tickets for the game today, and one of them said that he had to sell his car to buy the ticket to go watch a soccer match. Now, I like sports, and I know people get crazy about soccer, but I'm not sure I'd want to sell my car and have to be walking for... I have a feeling that in a few days after, especially if his team loses, very quickly if his team loses, he'll be regretting that trip. I don't know where he was from. He was either from Spain or Holland, one of the two that's playing, and he wanted to see his team play. And I don't know how much he had to pay to get there, but then he had to pay like over $1,000 for the ticket, so he had to sell his car so he could buy the ticket. You ever done that? You ever taken a trip, vacation maybe, and spent too much money, wound up having to pay it off for the next 10 or 15 years, and you just, I wish I hadn't taken that, I wish I hadn't spent that, I wish I hadn't done that. Or maybe you just went and you got home so late that you were so tired, you had to be at work the next day or whatever, and I wish we'd come back a day earlier, wish we had stayed so long or something like that. Well, today we want to read about and look at an individual who took a trip similar to that he regretted for the rest of his life. His name was Shimei. Don't know exactly how to pronounce that E-I at the end of a word. That's always been a weird one to me. But in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 39 through 41, he had been living in Jerusalem for 3 years. And two of his servants ran away to Gath. And so he heard that his servants had run away to Gath. So Shimei arose and he got on his donkey and he went down there to find his servants. And he got his servants and he brought them back from Gath. And this was during the time when Solomon was the king. In fact, it was just about 3 years into Solomon's reign that this occurred. But it was told to Solomon that Shimei had gone to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gath and back again. And you might think, why on earth would anybody tell the king that somebody took a trip? Well, this was not just any trip. This was, to say the least, unauthorized trip. If we look back to verse 36, we'll see what happened. Just after Solomon was made king, 3 years earlier, the king called Shimei. And he said to him, "You build a house in Jerusalem, and you dwell there, you live there, and go not forth from thence anywhere." Don't go anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem. In verse 37, he makes it even clearer. He says, "For it shall be that on the day you go out and pass over the brook Kidron," that was the little river, little stream that went past the river, went past the city of Jerusalem. It was one of the boundaries of the city. He said, "If you cross over that stream, you're out of the city limits," in essence. And he says, "The day you go over that brook, Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thy own head." And Shimei said to the king, "The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will your servant do." And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. In fact, he dwelt there about 1,000 and some odd days. He dwelt there for 3 years. But after 3 years, he decided he was going to go get his servants. If you read on down toward the end of the chapter, verses 42 and following, you find out that Shimei died because of his decision to go and get those two servants that had run away. Of course, if we want to know the background of this whole situation, you can go back to 2 Samuel chapter 16. The Shimei was one who, when Absalom had usurped the throne from his father David, Shimei was a descendant of the house of Saul. He was one of Saul's relatives. And so he hated David from the get-go, so to speak, because David had taken over the kingdom from Saul and his relatives. And so he hated David. And when he saw Absalom become king and David was on the run, he just loved that. And so he went along, walking along beside them, and he was throwing some rocks at David, and he was cursing David, because David was having to flee the city of Jerusalem. And in fact, he was calling David all sorts of names and accusing David of having killed all of Saul and all of his family and so on and so forth, which of course, you know, David was very cautious not to harm anyone from the household of Saul that did not rebel or didn't cause any problem. And so he kept cursing him. And verse 9, Abishai, one of three brothers who were sons of Zeruiah, these three were some of David's chief warriors. Well, one of them had died, but two, Joab, of course, who was king of David's army, he said, "Why should this dead dog be cursing my lord the king? Let me go over there and I'll take his head off for you." And at that time, David said, No. How do we know that God didn't tell him to do this? God may have told him, "You go curse David." There was prophecy in the land at that time. Maybe this is, I'm getting what I deserve, and God is having him to curse me for a reason. And so he says, you know, hey, you know, look at what my own son is doing to me. What is it if this guy throws some rocks and yells at me a little bit? And so he didn't kill Shimei. And even when he came back into the city, came back as king, you know, Shimei was probably kind of scared that, uh-oh, the king's back. He's going to remember what I did to him. He's going to hunt me down and he's going to kill me. But he didn't do that. He was one of the individuals then that when Solomon became king, there were several individuals that David said, you know what, you need to take care of a few of these things. One of them was Joab. He said, Joab killed two men who were better than him, killed them, but, you know, not in battle. He just ambushed them and snuck up on them and killed them when they weren't looking and weren't expecting it and thought they were, you know, friends. He stabbed his friend in the back, so to speak. And so he said, don't you let Joab die a natural death. You make sure that he's executed. And in fact, Solomon went so far as Joab, when he found out, he knew what was coming. And he went to the temple, or the tabernacle at that time. They hadn't built the temple yet. He went to the tabernacle and went to the altar and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. And Solomon sent the soldier to come and get him and say, come on out. The king said, come out, you're going to die. And he said, oh no, you want to kill me, you come in here and get me. So the soldier went back and told Solomon, Benaiah was his name, told Solomon, hey, this is what Joab said. He said, all right, fine, you go in there and you kill him at the altar. That's pretty serious stuff. You go kill somebody, I mean, that's at God's altar, and you go kill somebody right there at it. That's how seriously Solomon took the betrayal of Joab. Another one was to show some kindness to some descendants of a man who had shown kindness to David. He said, he took care of me when I had to flee because of Absalom, and you know, so now you take care of his descendants. You let them eat at your table and feed them. And he also told him about Shimei and told him, said, you know, you're a wise man. You take care of it. You do what you think's best. And so that's what Solomon did here in 1 Kings 2. He called Shimei in and he said, hey, okay, here you go. You need to stay in the city. If you'll do that, I'll let you live. I'm not going to kill you. If you stay in the city and you do what I tell you to do, you'll be all right. It was pretty simple. Not real complicated. Not something real difficult to do. You know, he didn't have to pay a lot of money to save his own life. He didn't have to do some great feat or anything. Just stay in the city. Well, how many of you have stayed in the city for more than 3 years without ever leaving it? That's not so easy. You start getting, well, I got to go do this. I need to go do that. I mean, most of us couldn't make it a month without going to Meridian for something or another. We'll find some reason every week just about to need to go to Meridian. Well, the same thing would happen in this case. Of course, Solomon had some other people to take care of. His own brother, Absalom's younger brother, Adonijah, tried to be king. And so he was another one who said, okay, you know, our father hadn't died yet. Our father hadn't said who was going to be king. So that's okay, I understand you, you know, but you serve me now, and I'll let you live. And he took the Abiathar, who had been the priest that was going to help make Adonijah king, and he said, you know what, you can't be priest anymore, and you ought to be killed, but I'm not going to kill you because you were a priest of God. So you go live. And Adonijah, of course, didn't leave well enough alone. He started begging for one of his father's concubines and wound up being executed by Solomon because he was asking for things that were inappropriate for him. But here's Shimei. And remember, I asked you earlier if you'd taken a trip that you regretted. I want you to think now about a sin in your life that you regret. Maybe a sin that may have been years ago, and maybe you've already even have been forgiven for it, but you still regret it. When you look back on that time, it may be a specific event, one-time thing that you did, or it may be a sin that you struggle with and still struggle with. Maybe something you did this past week that you regret. I want you to think about that sin, whether it be a one-time event or just a category of sin like lying or gossiping or something like that that you struggle with. And as you think about that sin, try to remember back to the time you were committing that sin. What was going through your mind? What were you thinking? I'm talking about a sin that you knew you shouldn't have done. I know that before we became Christian, we had done all sorts of things that we didn't even, you know, we didn't know what was right and wrong in certain areas about certain things. We hadn't been taught. We didn't know what the Bible said about certain things. But I'm talking about you knew something was wrong and you did it anyway. Think back to that time and think about when, as you were doing that, what was going through your mind? What were you thinking? Because I think Shimei is not so much different from us. If God has given us commands, and He's told us that if we violate His commands, we deserve to die. But still, we violate His commands. All of us, even since the time that we became a Christian, we've done things that we shouldn't have done. So when we became Christians, we made the agreement with God, God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow the devil anymore, I'm not going to serve him anymore. And yet despite that, we still find ourselves guilty. we still find that we've committed sins, we've broken His commands. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what were you thinking? What was I thinking when I did that? Why did I do that? Notice Shimei. He had made the agreement with the king in 1 Kings chapter 2. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave the city. And he said, that's good. What you said is good. I'll do that. That'll work. He agreed to it, just like we agree to God's commands when we were obedient to Christ in baptism. Put Him on baptism. We made Him Lord of our lives, King of our lives, and the King's commands then became our law that we had to abide by, just like Shimei here. But 3 years later, Shimei broke that. I know the Bible doesn't tell us why he did it or what he was thinking, but as I said earlier, I believe that Shimei is not so much different from the rest of us, and I think we can figure out some of the things that might have been going through his head. He might have been thinking, it's been a long time. In 3 years. It's been 3 years. I ain't gone anywhere. I did what King said for 3 years. It's been long enough. So, it'd be okay now. It's been 3 years. If Solomon had said, don't go anywhere for 3 years, I would have been all right. He stayed there for 3 years. But Solomon didn't say, don't go anywhere for 3 years. He said, you don't leave. He might have convinced himself, well, I forgot. That's what it is. I forgot that I wasn't supposed to go anywhere. And I'll tell the king, I forgot. You ever done that? You ever conveniently forgotten something that you... I mean, you knew you weren't. I forgot about that verse. You know, I know the Bible says, I just forgot about it. You know, in crime, they talk about temporary insanity. I think many times as Christians, we have temporary Alzheimer's. We forget certain things when it's convenient for us to forget them, and then later we remember them. And Jimmy, I may have been thinking, some of the things I forgot, and you know, I can't blame me for forgetting. I mean, you know, I'm human brain, can't remember everything. Well, you know what? There are some things you better remember. If there was one that, I don't care if Jimmy, I forgot his wife's name, his kid's name, and his own name, he better remember that he's not supposed to leave Jerusalem, or else he better have somebody making sure that he doesn't leave Jerusalem, one of the two. If he can't remember that. But he might have been thinking, you know, King's busy. King's got a lot of things on his mind. I bet he forgot. I bet he's forgotten about us making that arrangement. And, you know, so it won't matter if I go. And sometimes people play that game with God, as though God is going to forget a command that he gave. Another possibility is that he might have been thinking, well, you know, it's just this one time. Just one time. You ever use that one? Just this once. I won't do it again. Just this one time. I need to go do this thing. And I'm sure, it wasn't like he was planning a yearly trip to Gath. It wasn't like he was going to plan to go every weekend or something. He just this one time, I'm going to go because I'm going to forget my servant, so I'm going to go this one time. But you know, when we look at God's commands about the things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't do, we never read anywhere where he says, you know, it's okay, but just only once. He doesn't say that. He says, do it or don't do it. He doesn't say, you know, don't do it more than two times or don't do more than five times. No, it's either do it or don't do it. But then he might have been saying, "You'll never know. I'll be back. I mean, I'm not, you know, just gas. It's just right across over there. Not far. I'll go over there and get my service. I'll come back. You'll never know I was gone." Ever try that one? When I was a kid, I used to literally hide to do something that I knew I wasn't supposed to do. Not just hiding from my parents. I thought I was hiding from God, that God wouldn't see me if I was in the closet or if I was under the bed. God won't see me. Well, sometimes even after we're grown, we still think that way. Like a little child. That's a very childish way. He won't know. Oh, he knows. He knows as soon as you think it. He's already known. Now, Solomon, of course, it would have been possible, I suppose, that Solomon might not have found out about Shimei Gomer. That's a possibility, because Solomon was this man. But with God, you think you're going to do something that he won't know about, he won't find out about? And then this one. Oh, I'd love to hear this one. He'll understand. And we tell ourselves that a lot of times, but God will understand. This is my weakness. This is such a struggle for me. He'll understand. And it's true, he will understand because Jesus was human. But he'll also understand that he gave us a way of escape and we didn't take it. He'll also understand that we knew he didn't want us to do it and did it anyway. Oh, he'll understand. He'll understand that we had no excuse for doing what we knew we weren't supposed to do. But we like to use that one. Oh, he'll understand. I hear that so much from people. Many times people who are out in the world are not Christians. Oh, well, God will understand that I'm a good person. I'm a good person at heart. I've got a good heart. God will understand that. God will also understand that you didn't obey him. How do you show that you've got a good heart? How do you show that you're a good person? You do what you're supposed to do. And how many times, everybody always, "I'm a good person." Well, if you're a good person, you better start acting like a good person. A good person doesn't do that over and over again. But then he might have justified it by saying, this is really important. These are my servants. My servants have run away. This is really important. We do that a lot of times with things. Sometimes why we weren't at church. Well, something to it was really important. Really. Was it more important than doing what God said to do? How important was it? Well, it was really, really important. Okay. Well, I assume I. Was it so important to go get those servants that it was worth dying for? That's what happened to him. He died for it. And the case may be that we do one of those really important things instead of doing something else that God wanted us to do. And we die in that condition. And we may be lost because we had something really important to do instead of what God said do. There's nothing as important as being obedient to God. That's got to come first. He is the king. But he may have rationalized it this way, we often do. Well, he didn't really mean this. This is, when he said, I'm not going over the brook Kidron, I'm going the other way. He said, "Don't go over the brook Kidron." So I'm going, it's on one side of the city. I'm going to go out the other side of the city. I'm not really going to... I'm not really doing what he said don't do. Or he might have been thinking, well, you know, I know he said don't leave the city of Jerusalem, but I'm sure what he really meant was don't move out of the city of Jerusalem. He wasn't really talking about just going and doing a little business errand. How often do we do that? God says something, and we say, we go and do something, and we say, you know, I wasn't really being disobedient to God because what he said, you know, that didn't really apply to what I was doing. I saw a show, yesterday, that there was a fellow who was supposed to be a preacher, and they were going to go fight. And they had their guns and everything. And he had his gun. And the fellow said, the preacher, doesn't the Bible say some pretty specific things about not killing? And the preacher said, yeah, but it's kind of vague about kneecaps. Well, you know, he was trying to justify what he was fixing to go do by saying, well, you know, what I'm going to do doesn't really, you know, God didn't really cover that. Yes, he did. Do you remember what 2 Peter 1:3 says? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not just some of them. He didn't leave these little areas where, you know, he wasn't really talking about it. Yes, he told us everything. Now, I said, well, where does it say you can't shoot somebody in the kneecap? Well, in Ephesus, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. That covers shooting people in the kneecap. Or hitting them, or breaking their car windows, or, you know, whatever else. That covers it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That covers all of that. But he might have justified it by saying, you know, what I'm going to do, that's not really covered by what the King's command said. And we do it all the time. All the time. You know, we talk to kids about how they shouldn't be having sex if they're not married, and the answer you get back is, well, but what if we're going to get married? But they're going to get married, they're not married yet. Well, what if we really love each other? But we really love each other. If you really love each other, you'll love each other enough to not sin with that other person, and you'll wait till you get married. If you really love each other. But see, all the time we're trying to find loopholes and exclusions that may apply and things that may make the law null and void in certain situations. Situation ethics. And it doesn't work that way. God's law is absolute. When he says it, he means it. And then, of course, he might have been thinking, I didn't have a choice. I had to go. I just had to. I didn't have a choice. Sometimes we do that. This is one of the biggest things that Christians struggle with in the area of telling the truth and lying. And they ask me, they say, well, what do you say? If somebody is wearing just an absolutely hideous dress, and they come up to you and they say, how do you like my dress? You know, we're not supposed to lie, but if I tell them it's a hideous dress, they might get mad at me. Okay, well, the first thing that we need to learn as human beings is if you don't want to know somebody's opinion, you shouldn't ask them for their opinion. And then expect them to lie to you. Don't do that. But secondly, what we have to learn is if somebody asks us a question, there are several things we need to learn. One of them we learned in the Fisher's Men class. You don't have to answer a question just because somebody asks you. Politicians are good at that. They never answer questions that are asked. You ask them a question about, what do you think about the nation's debt? Well, you know, what I really think we need to focus on getting jobs created. Wait, but I asked you what you thought about, but we really need to focus on this one. You know, they're great about that. You know, they misdirect it. But sometimes there are ways out of situations like that without being deceptive, without lying, and saying, "Oh yeah, I think it's beautiful." We don't, you know, we're supposed to speak the truth. Now, also, this was not in the Bible. My mom always said, and there's probably the truth, don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But sometimes you don't need to say anything at all. Usually when somebody asks me a question like that, and I have a feeling that the answer may hurt their feelings, I ask them the question back. Do you really want to know how I feel about it? You know, sometimes we say, well, how are you today? Do you really want to know how I am today? I mean, if I'm feeling good, yeah, I feel good today. But if, you know, if I've been sick for the last month and I've been to the doctor 27 times and I've had 2 operations and I'm going through chemotherapy, do you really want to know how I feel today? Well, yeah, maybe so. Maybe I'm feeling better today than I have in a month. But if you're going to ask the question, be ready for the answer. Don't ask it if you don't want to know it. Be that as it may, the idea, I didn't have a choice, I had to do it. Well, I just had to say that because it would have hurt their feelings if I didn't say that. Well, really? Well, it hurts God's feelings when you lie. So are you more interested in hurting your feelings or hurting God's feelings? We need to think about those things. So Shimei, whatever the reason, and I don't know that I've got nodding here. There may be something else that was going through his mind. Maybe when you committed those sins that you were thinking about, maybe it was for some reason other than this one, right? One of these that we've mentioned. It may have been. But for whatever reason, whatever he was thinking, Shimei went and did what he shouldn't have done, and what he had agreed that he wouldn't do. One thing that the king told him not to do. Why couldn't he have sent one of his other servants after those 2 servants? Why couldn't he have hired a private investigator to go get a bounty hunter or whatever? Why couldn't he have somebody else to go do that work? He could have. He did have ways out. But he chose. And because of that, it cost him his life. Verse 43, Solomon says, "Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged you with?" King said to Shimei, "You know all the wickedness which your heart is privy to." In other words, he says, whatever you were thinking when you did this, whatever was in your heart, you know what was in your heart when you did this. You know the wickedness that was in your heart. "And what you did to my father David, therefore the Lord shall return this wickedness upon your own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. And the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died." Remember that sin that we were talking about a little while ago? Whatever it was, however big, however small in the eyes of man, that sin made us deserving of death, spiritual death. I mentioned earlier that perhaps you were thinking about a sin that you've committed in the past that has been forgiven. If not, if you're considering a sin, maybe something that you committed recently, and you're regretting it, but you know you've done something you shouldn't have done, you get that right with God. The good news is that because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to die like Shimei did. Shimei didn't get mercy. Of course, he'd had a couple chances already at mercy. But God grants us mercy and grace. Forgive us of our sins if we'll come to Him, repenting of those sins, confessing those sins. you're not a Christian, you can receive forgiveness for all of your sins that you have committed. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to repent of those sins, if you're willing to confess Him as the Christ, wash those sins away. You can have forgiveness of all those sins in your life. You can rise to walk a new life, free from the guilt, free from the death that should come as a result of those sins, that spiritual death. Not necessarily free of all the regret and all of the consequences that may come with those things. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand.